Hey, everybody. Brand Wozniak, host of the IASIS podcast. I'm here with our first guest ever for a repeat performance, instructor for OSINT, Open Source Intelligence. We're talking to Jessica Stutzman. Jessica, how are you doing this evening?
I'm good, Woz. How are you?
I'm doing well. Autumn has finally come upon us here in beautiful South Carolina. So we're enjoying, I'm able to, do my, fall fashion with the vest and stuff like that. I say this every fall podcast, but we're doing well,
The hat in Ireland fit really well with the fall aesthetic you're trying to push for. So that was a good look.
Yeah, I was going to wear it on tonight's podcast, but I was like, I don't want to push my luck too much, with that. So, give people a little teaser, but don't give them the full buffet for free. So maybe later on, but no, I'm just in my normal. Yeah. I don't want to go the full distance with that, but yeah, I thought about it. Jessica, I know, you were our first, podcast guest, and that was a whole different system. I compared to the basic cable, where I like to compare us now to like maybe HBO with our production. The more viewers you get, the more listeners you get, the bigger the budget. That's how it works. I always compared it to the first episode of Seinfeld to Seinfeld season 6 or season 7. It's so thank you for being back on for the actual real broadcast for Open Source Intelligence. People maybe they watched before, can you give us a little bit your history, professional history, and then of course we could move it right into IASIS, which we all volunteer and are staff members for.
So I got started back in the Army, so back in 2010. So I've been in the intelligence community for about 15, almost 16 years now. And that was really fun. I did 7 years in human intelligence. And when I got out, I was kind of looking for something new to do. And I'd done a little bit of OSINT stuff without really realizing what that was. And I got my first kind of real set of jobs in the IC doing, more and more OSINT work up until about 2018. Once 2018 hit, I was really full-time OSINT roles, and I was really frustrated in those roles because, we had manuals, we had guidance, we had tradecraft, we had very, very clear delineations of what you can and can't do, how you do things, and how all of that works together. And none of that existed for OSINT. I mean, it still really doesn't in a lot of places. But so I found that to be a really interesting challenge. I loved the work. So I've been kind of all over the place, lots of different agencies that I've supported, and Army and DITRA and things like that. But I got involved in a school program for a doctoral program, focusing on that strategic intelligence aspect, because there isn't any of that kind of codification of stuff right now. And I wanted to see what I could do to kind of move up into that space. So the last 15, 16 years have really been dedicated to that IC work, but OSINT is where I really found my passion and kind of found my calling. I got involved with IASIS back in 2020 when I was with CBP under Homeland Security. I was doing OSINT work full time. And, the boss that I had was like, hey, there's a computer over there. Do you want to learn how to use it? And I was like,
yeah,
it's a computer. How hard can it be? And he's like, well, no, but it's for forensics. And I was like, I don't really know what that means. Sure, let's go. And it was a Nuix machine. So that was my first experience with Nuix. They did a really great class, actually, kind of taught me the basics of like hex binary, how the stuff works and how the things kind of came together. And I just kind of had a knack for it. So one of the members, his name was Malcolm. I wish I could remember his last name, but he's fantastic, a British guy that worked for Nuix at the time. He referred me over to IASIS and I got signed up for BCFE. Unfortunately, COVID hit that year, so we had a big delay. I was in the listserv learning as much as I could from everybody that's in there. It is an incredible resource that I was using Autopsy on my own machine, using some of that open source software, trying to learn and working with some like free forensic data tool sets and just learning from the folks in the listserv. And then, I got familiar with who a lot of the names were that were in there chatting a lot and like really doing a lot of great responses. And then I finally got to go to BCFE in 2021. So went through BCFE, what a fun ride that was. Anybody that's been through that, super challenging, but graduated or, you know, graduated, got my certification, I guess, and came back the next year to volunteer. I think Rob Atto with Spider Forensics saw me and talked to me, and he's like, look, you know, I see in your, you know, your resume and your application that you do the OSINT thing. And like, for me, seeing OSINT and how it could support the digital forensic environment, even though forensics isn't an INT, right? There's a huge application there for police, for law enforcement, for the general investigative community. And he's like, you know, you should really think about maybe doing an OSINT class for law enforcement. Because again, even though it's not intelligence, that tradecraft, those concepts apply directly to the type of investigations we do to go after the bad guys. And it just kind of started from there. You know, we sat down and chatted with, you know, some of the training team, and they were like, sure, if you can throw a class together, we'll do it. So I think 2023, we had our first class. Yeah, so 23, 24, 25. And this year in January, we will have our first ever West Coast event, the Reno event, from January 12th to 16th. So we are super excited to put that one on. And, you know, it's just growing all the time. We make edits and updates up until the week before we get there. We double check our material that night before we present. And stuff still changes every day. So, you know, we try not to write too much into like a manual. We use a lot of really great references that exist already. And we think it's been a really, really good approach. And we've had a lot of great feedback. So we're super excited to put the Reno course on.
Awesome. Awesome. You said, okay, so you... As my pen goes, you started in 2020 with IASIS, I believe. Were we in 2000? I started in 2021, so you're not that far ahead of me. Does much like digital forensics, does OSINT evolve? So, is the class in 2025 in Reno, Nevada, going to be different than a class that was in 2023? I understand. Principles can be the same, right? Just like in all digital forensics, but is there an evolution to the craft?
Absolutely. So if we go back historically, so OSINT really started, I mean, it's always kind of been out there, right? We're talking about publicly available information. So when we say publicly available, what that means to most people today is anything they can find on the internet. But what that really meant historically, you know, if we're looking at like Art of War times, right? Know your enemy. Going to public libraries, doing all of that research, all of that would have been considered publicly available information exploitation. And that was really the fundamental to OSINT. In the United States, it really started in 1941. It was codified as the Foreign Broadcast Monitoring Service. So back then, it was really just during World War I doing radio broadcast intercepts of like German folks talking and things like that. Really, really cool fun fact about that, which I love because it's so close to me. The very first signal base where that all happened is in Vint Hill, Virginia, and it has been converted into a winery and a brewery, which is pretty cool. They actually have a museum with all of the original equipment in it still, and it's only about 15 minutes away from where I live, which is pretty cool. So you can go see that history. But if we're looking at, you know, less than 100 years, we were pretty much radio and newspapers, and then we had the internet, right? Everything blew up with the internet. It's gone huge. And then the last 3 to 5 years, really, the big differences between 2023 and today for our class specifically is going to be not necessarily the tradecraft, because, you know, Facebook codes something differently today. You look for a profile ID versus 2 years ago, you look for a user ID. You know, they changed that terminology in the background. But AI, of course, is what everybody's talking about. And that is the biggest thing. So how do you use it in your workflows? How do you know when it's being used against you, right? How do you know when sock puppets are being created with AI? How do you know when botnets are being created with AI systems? How can you identify synthetic and manipulated photos and things like that for mis and disinformation? So the last couple years, we've definitely had to have our instructors keep pace and keep up with their education. OSINT is ever evolving. You know, in forensics, we have big changes when we have big software updates. So like Windows 10 to Windows 11. But this is something that's really changing every day, every week, every month. We're seeing major, major, you know, implications across the spectrum of all the things we have to investigate and look at. And then on top of that, we have all new social media platforms that come up all the time. A great example was like Parler in early 2021. Still really popular in South America, very popular in Brazil. Not popular here, though. And we see new platforms coming up all the time that we have to stay on top of.
Yeah, I guess the Vine videos of what 2015 aren't it or whatever.
Yeah,
when
no,
Vine
Twitch,
was a thing.
Twitch is really the big thing now.
Twitch, yeah.
I found an amazing Twitch channel recently, and it is just called 24/7 Shrimp, and it is just a live stream of somebody's aquarium, and it's just shrimp. Just all day, just shrimp hanging out. And I was like, you know, in all of the things that we see in our lines of work, it is one of the most wholesome video channels I could find. So that has been the demo for some of my latest courses for Twitch.
Yeah, and but the thing is, too, though, I know you have a cat or cats. I'm sure if when you leave for work, just one cat. So, okay, yeah, you just qualified yourself as not being the crazy cat lady, I guess. But, you know, leave that Twitch channel on for your cat when you leave the house and just, you know, I put on my Chihuahua loves horror movies and my Beagle likes either real news or the weather. So I did just, I'm not a crazy person, but I'm just telling you, I know what my dog's like on TV. But if
there
was like
a feeder outside, so he just sits there and watches the birds come out to the feeder. We give him live TV.
Same. I invested in one of those camera bird feeders, so I don't even have to leave my house to see
nature.
We've
got one. They're amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, all I have is sparrows. I'm not close. We used to have a lot more trees. They demolished everything to do. This area is just booming. Kind of unfortunate, though. Now, instead of like all the beautiful variety of birds we got, we got a pigeon last week who seems to really enjoy my garage. And we've got mostly house sparrows and... what's the other one? House sparrows and house finches are our big three.
Yeah, we have the finches. It's fun watching the politics of the cardinals. I have a dominant cardinal who runs the yard. I back up, my property backs up to a state forest, so we have plenty of trees. So there's a cardinal that kind of rules the roost. Then the blue jays come in from time to time as part of a turf war type thing. But the cardinal and his wife, because cardinals, I guess, are couples for their existence, they kind of root it out. So the cardinals are the king of the jungle in my yard. And then we have like little Carolina chickadees, little mousy
little
birds.
Oh yeah,
they're
so cute. They've got their little the black heads.
Yeah,
they're adorable.
Yes. And then the damn mourning doves come in, and they are people waiting to get into a buffet. They slop up everything. I mean, I'm like, oh my goodness, please, you're embarrassing yourself, you know? But, I mean, whatever, it's nature. So I enjoy it. I enjoy it. It also gives me a free sunflower garden too. That's how it is. And also the bees love it. So it's actually the real life birds and the bees, because the sunflowers grow, the bees come in. So it's a nice little thing in my backyard. But,
So we didn't actually go too far off topic, because I can give you a quick OSINT tip and trick in my pocket related to the birds. So
we didn't even rehearse this. Yeah, perfect.
So there is an amazing app out there. It was developed by Cornell University, and it's called Merlin. So Merlin is a bird. It kind of looks like a hawk.
Yes.
So Merlin can be really, really helpful with investigations if you have clear bird noise or visual of different birds. Now, if it's a really common bird, that's not going to help you too much. But if it's any type of unique bird, between that app, you can take pictures and listen to the audio, and you can try to identify what type of bird it is. And that can help give you a general geographic location where a video or a picture may have been taken. So if you take that and then you layer it in, there are apps that do the same thing, but with the foliage. You identify the plants and you can narrow that down. May help you get super, super hyper specific. May not help you too much, but really good instances where you can narrow something down. Like, there's this beautiful bird called the Indian Roller. I'd only ever seen it once in my life, and it was while I was in Iraq. But it is rare in Iraq. It's mostly in India. So if I saw a picture of that bird, I would say, okay, it's India or it's Iraq, and that helps me narrow that down significantly. So OSINT tip for you. It's the Merlin Bird app.
I do use it. Because once, you know, this with the migration, South Carolina is the Buc-ee's of bird migration because just the weather here. So, you know, hummingbirds.
We just got
and
our first Buc-ee's in Virginia.
Nice.
So exciting. It's only like an hour from here, but I haven't made it yet. But it is on my list. I'm so excited.
It's decent. It's worth a stop. So so I use the Merlin app just when the migratory birds come through. But the thing is, I saw on Instagram, I'm too old to have a TikTok for my personal use. Professionally, sure. I have one, but personal use, I just wait 2 weeks and it shows up on Instagram Reels. And there was a guy on there who he'll just find a picture and he could cut it down to the blades of grass, like what kind of grass it is, how the angle of the sun, all those angles, and he could tell you where you actually live. And it's kind of legit. He has a few videos out there, and it's kind of scary because he shows all his work, and it appears to be legit. But yeah.
Yeah, send me the channel, because I'd be happy to take a look at that. Is OSINT in real life, right? And I will, anybody that's listening to this, for the love of God, please only use the things that you learn from OSINT classes for good, not to be creepy, not to stalk people. I say that in my classes. I say that all the time when we talk about this. It is so cool what you're able to do. If you want to try and practice, get somebody to consent first. You know, one of the, I think the most fun things about our Orlando class or our IASIS class is that we have a consenting volunteer who says, yes, take my name, take my phone number, give it to the students. We have a capture the flag event, and their whole job is to find as much information about that person as they can from an investigative perspective that would let us, you know, either identify them or, you know, help protect them depending on what the situation may be. And then that person at the end does get all of that data, so they now know everything that's out there about them. Do that with your friends and your family. Just get their permission first, and it's a great way to train and practice.
Yeah, that's a good teaching technique there. So we talked about that a little bit, a little snippet of your class. Can you go through like the day to day? It's a 5 day class, 4.5 day class.
It is a full five days.
Can you just walk through like a quick synopsis of what the students potential students wouldn't. Not I want to say endure, learn every day and gain every single day.
No, yeah. It's fair. I talk a lot, so sometimes it is enduring me. But I like to think that it is a lot of good information. So, like every other IASIS class, it is very much drinking out of a fire hose. We try to take it. There is so much to OSINT, especially when we look just at what's available in the internet. Our course is very internet focused, but we will teach you, you know, depending on what state you're in, okay, here's where your state records live on the internet, but you can go follow up with them in person and get in-person records if you need to, because that's still publicly available, right? So we start day one. We give a general intro, what it is and what it isn't, right? There's a lot of misinterpretation out there. There's a lot of misunderstanding out there. I remember working with a girl and she's like, oh, cool. So if we find the password, when do we hack into the account? And I was like, that is not OSINT. So we clarify some things about what it is and isn't. We do a lot of defensive and protective stuff on day one to really get students in the mindset of, yes, I'm going to go out and get this information, but here's how you stay safe. So we talk about VMs, virtual machines, we talk about VPNs, proxies, all of that kind of stuff. And we have students actually go in and get a full virtual machine fired up so they have a safe place to kind of practice and play during the course. We also do a full sock puppet build. We start the planning on day one. We move into day two, where they're setting up their own accounts. They'll have a SIM card. They'll have a phone to use to set up those inauthentic accounts. If they are setting them up for work, we do encourage them to transfer everything into their virtual machine after it's set up on the phone and take that home with them. And then we start diving into investigative specifics. So once they're set up and they're ready to do all of their investigations, we talk about how to investigate usernames, how to do phone numbers, emails, domains, you know, DNS, like web addresses and things like that, how to look at business registrations and personal information, you know, aggregation websites. We teach them how to go through and we're not teaching scripting, make sure that's very clear, but we do have even a block to teach you how to go out to places like GitHub, how do you evaluate scripts and identify what might be useful for you. And we do run a couple scripts in Python that are really, really productive for OSINT that can, you know, take your searching, instead of doing 600 searches manually, it can comb through them in an automated fashion and have a result for you in 30 to 45 seconds. So we'll do some of that automation stuff. We'll talk about, you know, dating apps, mobile platforms. We talk about the dark web. We will do a dark web exercise. We will get everybody into Tor. They will get on the dark web and do like a little, you know, another little capture the flag kind of challenge. And then day four, we'll cover how to vet your commercial providers, right? There's a lot of people out there selling OSINT products and tools. How do you know which ones are legally you know, permissible for you? How do you know which ones are actually honest and doing what they say they should? How do you do foreign research and applications or foreign, you know, foreign research and translation, things like that? And then we get into our 4-hour capture the flag where we use that consenting individual. I think what sets ours apart and what really throws some of our students is if you've ever done a capture the flag, it doesn't matter how much stuff you submit. If you submit information that's incorrect, you don't lose points on that, right? You get points for everything correct. But we go a step further. And if you submit information that it's not belonging to that subject that we've given you, you will lose points because we really want to stress to people how important it is when you're dealing with people's personal information to be very careful and to treat it with respect, treat it with caution, and do not ever take the risk of misidentifying somebody, right? If it's, if your father has the same name as you, right? And you lived in his home as a child, obviously, right? So you may have shared an address at one point. How do you make that differentiation between those two people of who's there now and what's current or what's not current, things like that? So we do actively remove points because we want to really, not to shame anybody, but to reinforce those concepts that you have to use this with caution because you're dealing with real people, right? These are not bots. These are not like fake accounts on the internet. I mean, some of them might be. But so that's kind of how we cap up the class. We do that as kind of our final capstone. You put all of your skills to the test and you see what you can find about that person. And that person does change. So if you've come to the class before, it won't be the same person. And it was really fun. We had a great time with that last year. It was the first time we'd done that type of capture the flag because it's tough to develop them. That's pretty much what you're looking at getting out of our class. We do provide the Michael Bazell book along with our practical walkthrough guide, which is going to have, you know, the screenshots and everything of exactly how we do everything. And, you know, you've always got me as a resource. You're always welcome to reach out to myself and the staff at any point. You're going to be an IASIS member if you come to the class. And I'm here to help. I'm here to support. You know, we're all volunteers. We don't get paid to do the class. We do it because we love it and we want people to be able to take this knowledge back home and keep doing good work with it. So it's super fun. I love teaching those classes. That's some of my favorite stuff that I do all year. I love taking the time away to go do that.
That is awesome. I have 2 points. I have 2 points to make. Marcus Hayward, we're going to table that real quick. All right. So remind me because my pen got flown away. If I go to pick it up, I'm going to be off camera. But you talked about two people with the same name at the same household. That is huge. Obviously, I've been in this business, being a police officer for 26 years now. For your cyber tip investigations, your CSAM, you know, your classic, you know, child exploitation cases. You're gonna have that. You're gonna get records back. You're gonna have two people with the same name. Sometimes you may get three people with the same name, depending if, you know, grandpa's living there.
If it's super common too, like a Mike Smith, I mean.
Correct. And so that is huge for your investigation to determine, do you have the right person in this house? I've come across it a couple times where it was a father-son situation. We have a fusion center here in South Carolina, so our analysts, you know, do a lot of the work for us as far as finding out. But that's a great point you made. A great point you made in that. So I just wanted to stress that because this, you know, for investigators, you know, that's crucial. Saves you an embarrassment, makes a search warrant / investigation a lot easier, you know, if you do your homework up front as opposed to going to the test day and just, you know, you don't have the materials or knowledge in front of you.
Yeah, I mean, you run into a lot of legal risks with that too, right? And that's something that we touch on in the class because like a lot of automated systems or like just those PII aggregator sites like, oh, backgroundchecks.com, they're going to throw a lot of stuff at you. And, you know, we've seen court cases be overturned and evidence thrown out because, you know, maybe AI was used to help make that determination. And when they went to go get the subpoena or the warrant, they did not present that there were 10 other results, right? So there's just so much to consider. OSINT doesn't quite have the structured validation process that forensics does, you know. It's a really big challenge. I'm writing my dissertation on that problem right now. So hopefully in another couple months, we'll have something really cool framework-wise to validate our data. But it's a big challenge, and we really want people to understand there are huge legal repercussions here. And the last thing you want is to be the guy that gets your evidence thrown out or to put the wrong person away, or even just pull them out of their offices for the wrong reason, right? Like, that's the kind of stigma sticks with you for a career, whether you were the guy or not.
Absolutely. With this brings me back. It's too far gone. I could talk about it now. We a plant manager for a muffin factory. We are investigating him. I'm not going to name the muffin factory, but a muffin factory. And so we showed up on a Friday afternoon just to talk to him. But with suspicion that he was, possibly involved in a case. And turns out it was not him, right? So just through doing police work, talking to him, actual police work where you talk to a human being. But it led us enough to talk to him. And so we clearly, we were in kind of like a chill, cool mode, cop mode type thing. So afterwards,
did the phrase come up, "Do you know the Muffin Man?" Because I feel like that joke just had to have come up like dozens of times after this.
That was a big thing in the office for a while. But afterwards, after, the dust settled and he was cool, I was like, "Hey, can I tour the Muffin Factory?" And he gave us a tour of the Muffin Factory on a Friday afternoon. I had a beard, so I had to wear the beard mask. I had to put a hairnet on. It was incredible. I mean, I was like, it wasn't quite Willy Wonka, but it was the muffin workers who were fantastic. Yeah, and they gave us a free muffin too after the tour. So that worked out nicely.
You don't have to disclose the muffin shop on camera, but having toured the factory, would you still buy and eat the muffins?
Yes, it was legit, and I'm not a health inspector, but I do cook culinary.
I see pictures of your food all the time. It looks amazing.
Yeah. So I do. That's one of my getaways is the cook. So I run a clean kitchen. The Muffin Factory was spectacular. They also bake the bread for a well-known submarine chain restaurant that one of their faces maybe got arrested for some years ago for child pornography. I'm not going to name the Subway place, but I'm not going to name the Subway place. But yeah, but they actually made the bread there and they bake it in the stores. So it was very enlightening.
So they put the plastic right into the rolls.
Possibly yes, but they showed me that. I was like, what's with all the Subway stuff? And they're like, oh, no, yeah, we make all the rolls here. Then we send them out to the local store. So they were like a local contractor. They made all the muffins fresh there. So,
cool.
Yeah. So we could talk. That's another podcast. We could talk muffin factories all day long. I brought up Marcus Hayward.
Amazing. Love him.
A coworker, a friend over the pond. They call them colleagues, but a coworker and a friend of mine, my partner in crime, him and I are, we're two of the investigators in our unit. So he took one of your classes at another venue.
Yes.
And he absolutely loved it. He's now the OSINT guy at the office. Cause
that is fantastic.
You go take a class that nobody else took. You are now the guy, right?
Yep.
I took at NCFI, I took two drone forensic classes. I'm now the drone guy. It doesn't matter. If you go to a class somebody's been to, you are now designated that. So he just did a sock puppet yesterday, which is quite humorous. He tried to create one, and it was I guess it's probably an inside joke now, but he is the OSINT guy for our unit. He's taking it and running with it. I come to him for questions, because I know you're obviously busy with your job, but also all the resources you gave him and stuff like that. So I talked to him. I know your class for IASIS is now available for all staff members, virtual online. I was hoping to take the class before our interviews, but that's fine. That's with the holidays coming up. I'll have some downtime, hopefully. Depends on the criminals themselves, but everything tends to slow down. Cannot wait to take your class. A benefit of being an IASIS staff member is the fact that you get most of the classes, I believe, especially this year, they opened them up. You get free training, which is worth its weight in gold for what it's worth. So,
yeah. And it's, It's really cool because, like, we go and we do the big event in, you know, Orlando, April, May, every
Orlando,
year.
Yep.
We just finished up the Europe course, which I was not part of. I just don't have the time to get away for that one, although it looked incredible and I heard it went off very, very smoothly. But when we're there teaching in Orlando, we don't get the opportunity to take other classes because we are just working. I mean, students
Correct.
Come in. And they come in from, what, 8-ish, 7:30 to, like, 4:30, 5 o'clock. But we're on the ground from 7 until, what, 9, 10 o'clock at night every day.
Yeah,
let alone being able to pull away to actually take course content. So I've been lucky enough to kind of, like, TA a couple classes or, like, kind of help with auditing. So I was able to audit WFE, which was really cool. Of course, that was the year that Ian, the former head of that course, had COVID the day he flew in from New Zealand,
yes,
I think.
Yes, yeah.
So, but they still did a phenomenal job with it. But even that class has changed significantly. So I would highly recommend any IASIS staff member check those classes out. You know, I think you can get one or two probably, but check them out on a yearly or like every other yearly basis. Our class especially, you want to take probably every other year just to kind of get the updates. You really can... You don't need to take like the legal hour and stuff every time, right? That stuff doesn't really change too much. If it did, I would let you guys know. But like the technical stuff is what's going to change, you know, like BCFE, you won't take it every year, but you would definitely take the parts that apply just to Windows 11 if the last time you saw it was Windows 10.
And,
right?
And
that, so,
Windows Forensic Examiner is now doing a Windows 11, if I'm not mistaken. Don't hold me to the cross on that one. But
95%. I think they did that.
Yeah.
Like last year, the year before, maybe they pushed, right? They pushed really fast.
Last year, because I had Ben Lord, who's now the chair over WFE, and he, I believe he said it. So it does update. And I also take, you know, MDF, mobile device forensics, advanced mobile device forensics. You know, that's pertinent, especially with cell phones. Every October, well, September.
You should probably take that class. Every year, the mobile, because I've heard that is our toughest certification, and I think advanced is going to have a certification soon. Like, I've consistently heard that is the hardest exam we have, and that, like, you definitely need to sit through it a couple of times if you don't do devices, like mobile devices all the time to really be comfortable. Like, I do not have the time for that one, but when I do, I'll probably sit through it a couple of times before I go for the exam.
And they open up the window a lot more. It used to be, you know, September 1st, October 1st to the end of the year. They opened it up a little bit. You got a lot more breathing room because they opened up a lot more classes. It's your class, WFE, mobile device, and advanced mobile. There may be another one. Forgive me if I'm forgetting it, but I'm just getting
through. Was Flex part of that this year?
I do not know. I have to check my emails. That is, I cannot quote myself on that one. Again, it's a benefit of being an IASIS volunteer staff member. We're always hiring. The pay's not great, but the training's fantastic.
Yeah, so it counts. You still get the hours and stuff for taking those courses, I think, right? So that counts toward your training requirements for the year. So.
100%, because I know my agency, I have to get 40 hours of training a year, which is not really a problem for my agency, but these small town agencies that don't have the budgets, it's fantastic.
If you're lucky, since it's a requirement, maybe your agency will let you hang out in your office and take the courses, you know, as part of your day job. Not that we don't all have 8 million things going on otherwise, but
that's true. That's true.
Setting some time away could be really helpful.
If you got a really cool boss, that could be a work from home situation, so you have no distractions.
I definitely learn better in pajamas. I mean,
just saying. I mean, all right, Jessica, real quick. We're gonna get into some small talk here, just real quick, and then we're gonna close out. You're from it's Haymaker, Virginia,
Haymarket.
Correct?
Haymarket.
I like
Haymaker was like an old wrestling thing, right?
Yeah, it's a punch, but I had Rob Blader on from Goochland, Virginia. And I was like, man, that minor league baseball team would be further south than me.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, Haymaker, Virginia, don't mess with that town. Haymarket. And that is the next biggest town. Let me see here. I got it written down. And let me make sure I pronounce it right. Manassas.
Yes. Manassas.
Say it fast. Say it fast. You do not want to, Don't go ahead and sound that one out, because it's going to turn it's going to, you know, it goes another way if you really pronunciate it.
But Manassas. In this area, that's what people remember, because they see the sign and they're like, oh, I definitely know where that is because, of the name. So, it's about an hour west of D.C.
Okay.
Very good. So you're still stuck in traffic.
Yes. When I have to go places, I try not to go many places because the traffic is just awful. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
My fiance has a motorcycle. Fun fact, if you ever come to Virginia and you are a motorcycle rider, you can ride the express lanes without paying the tolls as a single motorcycle rider. Or as a, you know, if you have somebody on the back, either way, you get the tolls for free. Because in our area, especially on 66, the main highway to get you out to DC, it can be upwards of $66 during peak traffic to go five or 6 miles. So he gets up early, he jumps on the bike, and he, for like the first month, he wanted to see how much he was really saving by taking the bike and getting up early. And I think it came out to like almost $1,000 in tolls that he saved just by being, you know, on a motorcycle. So you got to be really careful here, especially if you're on a bike, because there's a lot of traffic, but it does make it safer. So, and then, you know, he's got all the safety gear and takes all the classes and stuff like that. So he's not like out driving like crazy or anything like that.
That's good they do that for bikers. I was in Atlanta for a Buffalo Bills game, which we don't have to talk about that game at all, for the Atlanta. And they have the express lane.
And, I like Josh Allen.
And thank you. Yeah, don't we all? But Charlotte has it too. And another coworker of mine, we're only an hour and 10 minutes south of Charlotte. And he's like, oh, let me jump in the express lane. And of course, you know, they send you a bill in the mail. It was like $76 to go.
You don't have the transponders there?
Nah. Mm. Oh. Nope. They take a picture. They take a picture of a license plate and they mail it to you.
Ours are all automatic. So you mount a little thing inside your car and it just automatically deducts it for you. If you don't, then they'll mail it to you and it's like way more expensive. But it's called the Easy Pass and they are a game changer. So if I'm really desperate, I will weigh my time versus my money. And I will only take it in times of a need. But I've definitely taken it a few times when it's been pricey.
It's probably cheaper because toll roads are non-existent here in South Carolina. You know, Charlotte's trying to, you know, Charlotte and Atlanta are the big cities in the South. So I don't know all the nuances of it, but I guess it was sexy when you're driving it, but it's not sexy when you get the bill. So that's you got to weigh it. You have to weigh it. All right, Jessica, real quick, repeat those dates in Reno, Nevada for your class, please.
January 12th to the 16th, the Monday through Friday. So you would want to come in, you would want to arrive on Sunday and head out. I wouldn't book an early flight. We do go all day on Friday, so we do have a full 8 hours of class on Friday. So
Perfect.
You would
want
to fly out on Saturday. Unless you want to hang out in Reno. Heard it's a fun little city. Maybe take a couple extra days.
The biggest little city in America, right? Is that what they say? I only know Reno from Reno 911. So
I went there once for our training meeting this past January. We were kind of checking out the hotel, the facility. It's very nice. They've got basically everything that you could need. Really cool spot. But yeah, that was the extent of my being there. But that's what I've heard. They did give us a little bus tour around the town. That was pretty cool. So we get to see some things. Snow, of course, if you're like a skier, you may want to take a long weekend there, do some skiing the weekend before or the weekend after. It's not really my thing, but I know people that, you know, love that. So if you're a ski guy, that's a good way to do it, or girl.
Awesome. So yeah, check the weather prior to your flight so you know how to pack. Awesome. Jessica, I'm glad you finally came back on. You are our first podcast guest. I encourage everybody to watch the first episode. There's no shame in it. Just to see how much we've grown. That is correct. Seinfeld season one, Seinfeld season six or seven. So Jessica Sussman, everybody. Open Source Intelligence, IASIS, Reno, Nevada. Jessica, always a pleasure to have you on. Hopefully we talked off camera. Hopefully we'll have more in the future here going on.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me.
All right, Jessica, take care. All right.
Bye.
See everybody.